por qué no quieres volarte un dedo, no quieres.
Okamura can win and Euphoria can win.
Okay, no, no, no. But he's actually a rookie, so he's gotta wait a little.
I agree with everything you guys are saying. Absolutely. We are here from the alternate Lucha World Studios in Hampton Car Court, Walnut Hills. I am Vandal the Love Handle Drummond with Alfredo Esparza, and we have a super special guest here. We have the man known as Dr. Lucha, Steve Sims.
Where?
He's hiding somewhere. He's looking for my cat.
The man who won't appear on Slam and Stamp.
That's right.
Refuses to be the sixth member of the Slam and Stamp podcast.
That's how he likes to describe it. We like to say he was banned from Slam and Stamp.
For talking baseball.
For too many run-ins. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Too many unannounced run-ins. You guys at Slam and Stamp have a beautiful podcast that has its own rhythm, has its own guests, has its own its own, I go back to the word rhythm again, but you've developed your own niche in the marketplace, and I already have an outlet to speak every 2 weeks to get things off my chest as it is anyway. So
it's not a matter of you like Brian Alvarez better than us or anything like that.
Well, that's true too, but
oh, ow.
Even we like Brian Alvarez more than we like ourselves.
So. That's right. How can you not? How can you not like Brian Alvarez more than just about anybody else? Except maybe Dave Meltzer, if he's listening. Which I hope he isn't.
He doesn't have to.
That would be a shock.
He has no time to listen to podcasts. Come on.
Yep, the likelihood of that.
I was curious. Does he have any other hobbies?
He used to be like into bodybuilding, going to the beach.
He follows politics regularly.
Oh, really? Okay.
Since he was a little kid, I think.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
I think that's about it for Dave Meltzer. I don't want to overexpose.
Well, you know,
he's a parent. Yes, yeah. He's a parent. And anybody who's had kids can tell you that your life changes when you have kids.
That's why I don't have kids, because children should not raise children.
That's true.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Well, we're in a euphoric mood today, despite the fact that we have some very sad news. We just learned that CMLL legend Massacre has passed away due to complications of spinal cancer at the age of 57. All three of us are familiar with him.
Well, we were just talking about MS Uno, like what, our last podcast?
Yes.
Yes, it was MS Uno.
That I mean, the timing.
Yeah.
It is very, it's a sad story overall. Of course, us reaching middle age, one of the first reactions I bet each of us had, well, at least two of us had. Alfredo's just a kid, but
yeah, damn it.
But, you know, he was 57 when he passed away, and we'd turn and look in the mirror and say, you know.
He's our generation.
He's our generation. Yeah. He's our age. We have friends that, and relatives that age and stuff. That's too young. It's too young to pass away, but he had cancer of the spine, which I can't remember the last person I heard of dying from cancer of the spine or even having cancer of the spine. It's not a very common disease to have. You can always speculate, and all you can do is speculate is if 20 years worth of taking back bumps do anything to destroy the cells around your spine. Mm-hmm. But then again, there have been millions of wrestlers in the U.S., in the last 100 years, and none of them had cancer of the spine, so I really don't see how you can relate the two.
And cancer is one of those things, whether it's common or rare, there's so many of it, it's not a very prejudiced disease. It happens, unfortunately. So who knows if it was there's some cause and effect, or if it was just a spin of the wheel. That's one of the other chilling things as we get older.
How long had he been in Charlotte?
I had heard news of him being in the U.S. for medical care due to him having relatives who had crossed the border for about 4 years.
Okay.
But I hadn't asked any question about him in the interim, so I didn't know that he was on the verge of dying, and I guess that's not the sort of thing that would go around, but I'll ask you two if you remember him in his feud when he was part of the Untouchables, Los Intocables, feuding with M-A-S-A Uno, mm-hmm. his close friend and frequent feud partner, and Satanico Pirata Morgan is Los Infernales.
I remember it very well. In fact, that's one of the first matches I came across on YouTube last night. You know, whenever I hear of a passing of somebody like this, YouTube's the first place I go to try to, you know, pull up a little nostalgia. And I saw that short stretch where he was actually at Technico teaming with Pierre Roth Jr. and Hake Mate.
Hake Mate.
Yeah, that's a name we haven't heard in years. One of
the guy who really looked horrible his last couple of years.
Oh, true.
That is really awful.
Had one of the coolest masks, yeah. But it didn't quite match what he did in the ring.
Are you saying he didn't checkmate his opponents?
He checkmated his career, I do
believe.
Yeah. You know, and the same thing is funny. When M.A.S.A. Uno died, he's a guy I hadn't really thought of that much in recent times, but when I went back and looked at his work, I said, damn, these guys were great. And the feud they had with each other and other folks like the Brazos, that was just golden.
It was, but it was different too, wasn't it, Fredo?
Yeah, it was very different. That's it. I have no more to talk about. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
What I wanted to ask you about Massacre was, wasn't his last thing he did in Lucha with Ocesa? Did he have something to do with that? Because I kind of remember
I thought
him.
He even did stuff with AAA very late in the career after the Ocesa stuff.
Yeah,
the Ocesa stuff was when they had the big show.
He was the booker,
others.
Right? He
yes.
was the guy in charge.
He was the booker, and they tried to do a big show at Palacio de los Deportes and drew five people for seeing Fishman lose his mask.
The first two shows of Ocesa's were really good.
Yes.
And then the last two were like horrible.
They were, but people didn't view them as anything but nostalgia shows, and as we can always see with nostalgia shows, the interest level will decline the more often that you run them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's how they were treated by the audience at the time, even though we Lucha aficionados got into it a great deal. The regular average fan was onto what they could see on TV as the current modern stuff, the Vipers. And back then, you know, Shocker and Ultimo Guerrero were just starting their feud and stuff like that. And there was a new wave of wrestlers to be interested in.
Vipers, Vatos, Locos was the
last. Vatos, Locos.
Yeah, that was the big feud in AAA. Mm-hmm. Before Conan started watching AAA. He missed all the bad stuff. He missed all the bad stuff. Just kidding.
No, I mean, Cibernético. That Cibernético made his money that way.
Yeah. Surprised Peña kept drawing with those shows, but, you know. They were actually
But Peña was an actual promoter. And yeah. We'll probably get into that at some point in this discussion about promoting wrestling and stuff like that. I mean, somebody tried to run a show last night in L.A., and moved it from an outdoor arena to an indoor arena that seats 300, maybe. So you're moving it from a venue that has 6,000 seats to a venue that has 300 seats.
But they probably drew the same amount of people.
Well, that could be, because promoting these days is a very, very promoting independent wrestling these days is a very, even AAA and CMLL, when they don't run their TV tapings, and send their wrestlers to spot shows. Those are being promoted by independent.
Well, you know, we were referring to the Pico Rivera show last night. I think one of the problems is, you know, you're promoting a show, but nobody knows it exists because...
Well, you did say it was on LA Times. It was on the cover of LA Times.
Well, okay, here's the thing. They did a story about...
R.J. Brewer,
yes, and his feud with Blue Demon and his anti-immigration gimmick. You know, I don't remember the article that clearly, but...
They didn't mention
the show. Geez. I mean, I think they mentioned that there was something going on
run.
In the area, but there was no mention of where it was, who was, you know...
The LA Times is desperate for advertisement. You know, a smart promoter could have placed a little block ad to run on the same page.
Exactly.
The LA Times would have taken that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't in their old days. Their journalistic standards were a lot higher than that. But in this day and age, they will take any print advertising they can get, and they would have put it on the same page, and you could have had a promotion slot on the inside page that the cover story went to.
I remember when I was a lot younger, you know, here in the LA area, you know, when there was an athletic commission and... You know, you couldn't just run a show anywhere. You had to go through the athletic commission, mm-hmm. pay fees. So I think there's a lot more stake in these people's minds. But the thing I remember was when they would promote a show, you'd see flyers in the neighborhood everywhere. You'd see ads in the newspapers. I mean, you knew there was a show.
But it kind of seems like with these guys, though, since they have another business besides wrestling, doesn't it kind of feel like they're just like using wrestling for... they're not really promoting it.
It does seem that way. Although, and I know some of them are really, really hardcore into wrestling, but I learned a lot just watching a local promoter in Chicago called Sam DeCero try and promote Windy City Wrestling at a time when there were at least a dozen, maybe 18 shows that you could get on cable TV in your house without having to leave, you know, your house, including WWE, NWA, World Class, et cetera, et cetera. So you could get very high level of wrestling. And he was trying to start up a company from scratch to get people to go out and watch wrestling live without at first a TV show at all. And of course, one of the things that he did when he found a venue was is he papered that area, neighborhood area, with posters to at least let people know that on such and such a date in the neighborhood, where it was, whether it was the International Amphitheater in Chicago or a bar or someplace on the northwest side, that there's going to be a show upcoming. And I saw how much legwork went into it by somebody who really was, who knew the inside of the business pretty well, but really put his heart and soul into this. This is the main thing I am doing with my life, is trying to start a wrestling promotion. I'm not a money mark. I'm not somebody dabbling in it. I'm not somebody interested in it. I'm not somebody that would like to try it. It's like the old joke about chicken and eggs, or ham and eggs. That the chicken in the ham and eggs is involved, but the pig is committed. And in this case, Sam was committed. He wasn't involved in running a wrestling promotion. He was committed to it, and I saw what he did to try and make things work.
And it does seem like a lot of guys who are promoting today think that reliance on an avenue like Facebook is going to do it. And now Facebook is kind of invisible except for the...
And you know, the other thing they screwed up, let's face it, they changed Strongman's name.
Yes. Amen. Well, yes. Amen.
I mean, how are we supposed to know it's Strongman?
What was it, John Recon?
And I mean, come on. I didn't know that till I figured it out.
In fact, that's the only reason I knew the show existed, because I was...
But you, when you told me Strongman, I'm like, I don't see him listed. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm not going to go.
It would have sold out if it just said Strongman.
And well, him pulling a bus.
Bus. You would have had to have the Strongman versus the bus.
And him at the end screaming, now I am a Mexican. Yeah. Now I am a Mexican.
And you need Shocker ringside. Do it, John.
Take it away, John. Take it away, John.
Yeah, the only reason I knew the show existed is I was just kind of cruising Facebook, and a friend, Kevin Lyon, IM'd me, says, Kurt, did you hear John Strongman's going to be in Pico Rivera? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so there.
Yeah.
Then I heard it was going to be outdoors and it was going to rain.
I know, it's like,
Not even for Strongman and a bus.
Not even for Strongman
and a bus. But that's okay. They have several more dates coming. They're in Fresno tonight, which, oddly enough, will probably be the single best drawing house they have on their entire tour. And then they'll be at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio.
They're actually going to be in the Alamo Dome, or not like a little small
part? No, according to what I have been told, they are going to be in the Alamo Dome.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that should be very interesting.
That should be like Kurt seated ringside. Yay!
Go, John. Go, Johnny.
You can do it, Strongman.
Roar like a lion. That's what
the Strongman sign right there. We love you, Strongman.
But
you cross out we. Hi.
I wonder what you think if he knew I wrote haiku about him.
I should ask him.
Yes, do.
He's not on Twitter.
I'd be curious
to know.
I don't
think he probably wouldn't pay attention.
It would be better if you just went up and challenged him in the ring.
I think so. You should tell him. You should read a haiku to him. Ringside.
Yeah, that would be cool.
See what his reaction would be.
You have to be very careful, though, if he tries to dive on you outside the ring, because he can actually dive a lot further than he thinks he can. So you'll be here, and you have to put your hands up to try and catch him.
And I'll be imprinted onto a steroid-like frame, you know, and steroid-like? No, more like steroid-enhanced, or like steroid...
Enough of this, let's talk about Euphoria.
Euphoria.
We are euphoric. We are euphoric.
Finally, a rookie that we can root for who's actually closer to our age.
The Grand Alternativa is done for another year, and once again, just like the last 3 or 4 years, it didn't draw very well.
Do you know if they're doing a For Hondo Unido?
I haven't heard. No. I have not heard
that. I like that. I want them to do
that. That's a long tournament to run, though.
I know, but I like it.
And they have too many hands, and when they did it last year, Ultimo Guerrero had just assumed control of the book at CMLL. He was the head of the committee.
Plus, where they're going to get rookies too? So,
well, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to keep up with that. And what's next? Bellino?
Yes. Next.
Bellino, Blue Panther.
Take the Blue Panther rematch.
Yeah, Blue Panther versus
Diamante Negro. Yeah. He'll be a rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be eligible.
It's euphoria. I mean, come on.
We are all happy because Euphoria has a nice work rate and has been undervalued for many, many years. I'm sure this is going to lead to terrible feuds. I mean, let's not use that word terrible. It's going to lead to huge feuds with Virus over control of the Cancer Barrels, who's really the head man there, with La Polvora getting pushed as a favorite of somebody else in the booking committee. They've got like one click likes Virus, one click likes Polvora, and another click likes Euphoria.
Oh, jeez.
And Rossiel's the best of all of them, so what can you do?
Now, here's the funny thing. Despite all the CML promotional blunders, and there have been many, I enjoy watching the wrestlers in CMLL. I enjoy all the sombras, the mascaras,
I don't like mascaras.
Yeah, I like Mascara. Well, Averno is at my top of the list, though. I mean...
Yeah, he's still like him.
But is there a word? Is it any one person in the booking committee? Is it the whole of the booking committee? I mean, why do they keep coming up with these lame tournaments all the time? And
have they planned out their other tournament?
No, they do. They very much like tournaments. They like it. They believe that having tournaments at the end result gets the winner of the tournament over. Doesn't always work that way, but they believe it. They are Paco Alonso, on top of the promotion, is trying to satisfy people that have different philosophies about doing things. Ultimo Guerrero likes to do things one way. Averno likes to do things the much more modern way. And Blue Panther likes to do things much more old school way.
So Verno's in the booking committee too?
Well, he's listened to. He has a lot of power. And his dad is on the booking committee just at the very bottom rung of the booking committee.
He books quite a lot.
Which is why they never, ever use him in an angle, because he won't let him. Oh. He won't let himself be used in an angle.
Oh, gotcha. Just the wind.
Maybe it was more black cats crossing.
Yeah, there might be. That's right. Yes. Yeah, there's spirits roaming Walnut Hills, I can tell you. You know.
Well, they have so many different cliques, and they have a very a person who is unquestioned on top. He's got the money. He signs the checks. He owns the building. He owns the contracts. And yet is a very weak leader on top. And until they get a strong leader either right below him or to replace him, this will continue forever. CMLL will continue to have its occasional feuds that click, like La Mascara and Averno or whatever. things that come up suddenly that they can't mess up. And they'll have things that occasionally go really well. And then they'll have just tournaments because they're stuck and they don't have anything else to do, and they say, let's run the Leyenda de Plata this week or for the next 3 weeks or whatever.
Or a tournament for a new champion or something.
And so they'll have that. But for the most part, their main goal is to keep everybody who's currently on their staff employed and making money. So they don't have a sorting hat. They have a kind of chart they go through so that everybody gets enough bookings during the week that they hit the income level they want them to hit.
Right.
And then they have certain things that they that each clique wants to do as far as pushing people or getting people closer to the top. They would like to have everybody be able to work either main events or semifinals somewhere around the country for little small shows and shopping malls and stuff. You could use somebody like Euphoria on top even before last night.
Oh, really?
So, you know, for shopping center stuff, where
I'm thinking of running shows at a shopping center.
Yeah. they do that. They have shows spring up in Mexico that you wouldn't even know existed, except that
Can I get
there are posters around the neighborhood.
Can I get Super Commando for my Nick?
You can't get Artieto.
Oh.
Sorry.
Super Commander versus Robin Hood?
Are these shopping?
You can have Robin.
Oh, that's right.
Are these shopping centers, are they the equivalent of here in Southern California for the last 20 or so years?
Well,
it's very popular to have them at flea markets. And
yeah, kind of more like swap meets. Stalls, things, indoor things that have stalls in them and stuff like that. I don't know that there are many shopping centers anywhere in Mexico that match. Well, there aren't any that match South Coast Plaza or Del Amo or even Glendale Galleria. But what's something that's really old and it used to be really nice and run down? Plaza at Puente Hills?
Yes, that's a perfect example, actually.
Yeah, their best one in the whole country approaches that level.
Okay.
And most of them are even in less good repair and use less quality workmanship and, you know, are a little more run down than that.
What's the closest junkyard?
Have you ever been to the East LA College swap meet? Ever?
Never.
No, I'm saying junkyard. You know, like the Pearls Del Mar.
Yes, I know. No, I'm thinking
we could do a junkyard type.
Junkyards. No.
Okay.
No.
Was it worth a shot?
East LA College swap meet would be just ideal. Diego swap meet, that Kobe swap meet that they have at the San Diego Sports Arena. They don't have the same sort of things there because Mexico hasn't been in any wars. Yeah. They don't have any legionnaires.
No, only the U.S. Can I get them booked in Legion Halls
here in California?
California?
Why not?
Most of the people can travel across the border. It's very few of them that can't travel across the border. It's very funny that the U.S. tries to build this incredible border to keep people out, and yet wrestlers can just come through right and left and work dates, and then, you know.
We should get Negro Navarro versus
somebody like Dr. Sweet. Wagner Jr., who comes over here and gets arrested half the time he comes over and has to spend the night in the can.
That makes him even more fascinating.
Walks right back the next day and goes back to Mexico and work.
That's happened?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, you and the white mask over there, didn't I tell you?
You got to go back to Mexico.
I'm
a doctor.
That's the next thing I want to do, based on this El Hijo del Santo lawsuit against AAA, is I want to show up in court wearing a mask.
I would love that.
Ask them, and when they tell me to remove the mask, I can't do it. It's part of me. I can't do it.
Hey, if Great Sasuke could do it in the Senate.
You can do it in Japan, you can do it in Mexico, and in the U.S., you'll probably not see the light of day for 20 years.
I want to see this lawsuit, like, the court battle be on court TV, and, like, have witnesses coming in, like, Pirata Morgan coming in. Pirata Morgan, you swear to tell the whole truth? Him wearing his big old eye patch and everything.
And when they ask him if he swears to tell the whole truth, he goes into Naruto mood and crosses himself. Like, I swear upon my mother, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hector Garza shows up.
I'm just thinking the judge of the Santo case is probably going to say, I'm sorry, we have to settle this in a cage match.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that'd be... Well, actually, I would love if they settled it in a cage match.
Santo versus the wrestler
Mexico.
Of AAA's choice.
And you can only imagine AAA would complain because they can't lose. They're going to lose. Santo never loses. Santo never loses, don't you think?
Yes, but for Rod Behari's sake, we must have a cage match in Mexico where Santo puts up his mask.
Against Ringo Mendoza.
Against Ringo Mendoza putting up his hair.
That's right.
The funny thing is Ringo Mendoza is also on the booking committee, although he has no power. He doesn't care. He's really a trainer. And he, along with Satanico, have been the two over the last 10 years in CMLL who have been the most vibrant or vigorous proponents of bringing in the new guys and cutting loose the old guard and telling the old guard it's time to retire.
Makes sense.
Move, get out of there, create new stars, even if you have to sink or swim it, kind of like what Paco tried to do when Mystico left. He said, we're going to do what these guys.
All those guys, and then all of a sudden,
we're going to make our own stars and we're just going to sink or swim on it.
Then they kind of like switched to the tournament.
And they ended up with Rush as the guy that was the breakout star.
I was going to ask, do we know whose idea the tournaments are? I would love to know whose idea it is because I just...
Well, it's just endemic to the organization. CMLL, if you ever talk to Chad, American Gigolo, or Dorothy Lee or Mike or anybody from the U.S. who's been down there, they will tell you song and dance about how CMLL is the most hidebound, stuck in this old way of doing things, traditional, will not listen to new ideas organization on the planet. And they're probably right. There probably isn't another one in the whole planet.
Yeah.
that just refuses to comply with modern theories of running businesses and won't look will use the phrase, "We're doing it this way because it worked in the past," as their leading mantra for making all their decisions.
Well, but here's the thing. You know, tournaments in Lucha Libre have always been kind of mediocre, with a few exceptions. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they've gone into full gear with them. It seems like they have them all the time, where they had them in the past, but not at the rate
tournaments allow. When you have different people that want to push different people, they allow mm-hmm. people to get important wins during the course of them and keep your clicks satisfied. So over the course of time, if you have click A, click B, and click C, and for whatever reason over the last 30 years, it's always been three clicks. It's never two, never mm-hmm. four, never five. It's always three clicks, excuse me.
Zoom tight.
That stupid liquor you're throwing down my throat.
That's right, fire water.
Trying to be straight edge.
I grow my own leg
this.
And get you more of that, by the way.
Steve's trying to be straight edge, and Kurt's influence is affecting him.
He's pouring.
I am corrupting Dr. Lucha.
He's pouring Sinatra smashes down my throat. The problem with CMLL and its tournaments, to me, I'll get to in a second, but the reason they keep doing them so much is it allows a weak leader to keep three of his cliques happy at the same time. So he might have a tournament where the favorite clique A wins this time, but clique B and clique C get an important win during the interim. So you might get something where the world champion might be Hector Garza, and he loses in 44 seconds in the first round of the tournament to Rey Bucanero, but that's because Rey Bucanero is part of Click C, Hector Garza is favored by Click A. Click A got him as champion. Click C hasn't had an important win in a while.
Who did Tanahashi lose to in that tournament last year?
I forget.
Was it Ultimo Guerra or something?
I forget. We can look it up.
Yeah, I can look it up later.
But it's funny that I like Rush as much as I do, because he's the only one that is actually getting nobody's pushing him. Nobody particularly likes him, but everybody realizes that he's 5 years from now is going to be the star of the promotion, and so they're protecting him in a way, in a sort of way. He still does jobs and stuff, but you can tell by the way they're booking at him that he's the star right around the corner on that now. Back to tournaments. The reason I don't like tournaments, as I said on Brian's show a couple times, when you have a tournament, and especially the Universal Tournament, where they have the 16 champions go in together, and they have a champion of champions, what that means is you have your 15 of your 16 champions do clean jobs in a two-week period. And I hate that. I hate mm-hmm. that with a passion. I think that is the worst booking you could possibly do. It absolutely kills your championships, and it doesn't help any of the wrestlers, too. It doesn't help the one that you get put over as the champion of champions as much as it takes away from the guys that do 44-second jobs in the first round.
Yes.
In getting the tournament
And that's off the part the I don't understand in the rationalization of, okay, we're going to have a tournament to give important wins to somebody. Why do you need a tournament to do that? Why can't a guy get pinned just in a match that's being held just for the sake of having a match?
I agree with that a little bit. I would say, why do you do it so often? Champions tournament combined in the Olympics at the same time during the same year they do the Olympics. That in August every 4 years is a fabulous idea, and you can have your 15 champions do jobs every 4 years that time.
Why not the minis champions?
And you protect them. You could do lots of things. Yeah. I think it is, in theory, it can be made to work, but doing it every year, along with lots of other tournaments, that your champion of your universal champion tournament, like La Sombra, happened to have lost in the previous two tournaments.
And you know, the bad thing is that
he didn't even make the final of those. So
the times they don't do tournaments, they do Torneo Cibernéticos. So
Nine out of 10 people do jobs.
Yeah, so it's like you're just getting this stuff over and over again.
Right, and it's like
charity booking, basically.
Just wrestle for the sake of wrestling, damn it. That's what it's all
about.
We
had this discussion amongst the people who were at Fort Lauderdale for WrestleMania, and I think a lot of people agree with a theory I have that is really been growing the last 6 months, is that parody wrestling has been given a chance, an honest chance, the last 5 years, and it's not necessarily
a good thing.
It's a good. I don't think it is successful for business. I think it is a better thing for professional wrestling to have a class of wrestlers that are well above the others and are highly protected,
mm-hmm. like Rush.
Well, whatever. Exactly. Any promotion. I mean, promotion Rush. Anywhere. But like Rush.
Steve,
you could do it.
You were on the Rush bandwagon before anybody else.
You were prophetic.
You were the
I
one.
Was, I only who was said the us. Original time. I only said is I broke in at the very end of a podcast once when Brian was ready to sign off and said, I wanted to note that I think this guy has a lot of potential.
You were ahead and you were right.
In the words of Dr. Jerry Graham, all night long you have been philosophizing and prophesying, and Rush is the future.
No.
And I love
one of the reasons
he gets from the audience.
Yeah, one of the reasons he is because CMLL is doing such a backhanded way of getting him over by creating nothing but clones of Mystico as
yeah.
your
mm-hmm.
top baby faces. If Lucky Pierre were the only person instead of Rush in their promotional lineup who, well, or let's say Vandal Trauma, because it has to be somebody who wrestles without a mask.
I think Lucky Pierre has to start in that Gran Alternativa first.
Yes.
God help them if they ever get me.
If Vandal Trauma were there, you would still be more over than you would think because you are the one
that's
different. Everybody else is a clone of Mystico.
True. Well, it's kind of like I tell Kurt.
The fans know that.
When he works on the local indie scene, you're the only one that doesn't do the like those who doesn't wrestle the style that the indie style wrestlers use now.
It sticks out.
Yeah, you're wrestling a style that's more of an 80s style or 90s style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I say do what nobody else is doing on the show to get a reaction. And well, and same when I used to wrestle on lucha shows before there were a lot of gringos on the show.
Yeah.
Just me being white would elicit boos, and I didn't mm-hmm. even have to do cheap heat like saying anything about their ethnicity, which I wasn't going to do anyways. All I had to do was pout and act like a brat, and they would just, you know, scream, huero, huero, you know. Just,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was easy heat.
I thought there was just shout started with the letter C-U-L.
Cuero.
Not G-U-E.
Yeah, I think it was. It could have been both.
It could have been. I think they called me a lot of different things. But, you know, I remember, I think it was like Greg Regalado's third or fourth match, and it was in Santa Ana, and it was an all Latino crowd, and he was eagerly saying, "I really want to try being a heel," and I was saying, "Well, okay, you want to try it, be a heel tonight." He went out there and got like polite response. Then I went out there, and they immediately just started whistling and booing and, you know, throwing mm-hmm. crap at me, and I said, "Sorry, Greg, not tonight."
It's funny how that works, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Certain things, even today, when Volador Jr. wrestles Prince Devitt, you would think, as much as the magazines and the newspapers tried to warn the fans ahead of time, like, Prince Devitt is technically as good a wrestler as there is on planet Earth right now.
A very
he's
clean
really
wrestler.
Special. He should be treated with respect and stuff. As soon as he gets in the singles match with Volador Jr., it's xenophobia
mm-hmm.
or patriotism, depending on which side of the coin you want to look at.
Yeah.
Some of the fans who don't care about work rate, they don't care about styles. There's a Mexican against a non-Mexican. That's
yeah.
it.
It's funny how, you know, I'm sure it's been going on all the time, but sometimes they just want to shove an idea or a concept down the fan's throat, and you can't just twist their arm all the time. They're going to like what they like.
Mm-hmm. In Mexican Lucha Libre, it is still true to a lot of fans that they go to the shows as a way of catharsis and as a way mm-hmm. of getting a little relief from the daily struggle they have getting ahead. And they have a real love-hate relationship with people from any other foreign country, especially white people from other foreign
mm-hmm.
country. And whether it's Ireland or even Japan.
Oh, right? Man, those Irish.
Whatever. I mean,
as
you,
evil.
But as you can tell, it's just, you know, it's a chance to boo the man.
Steve, what I want to talk about now is the big feud that's going to be starting up soon.
We're starting a feud?
Valiente versus Namahague.
Oh, that is going to be
the greatest feud of all time.
Talk to me,
First, Valiente is going to reveal the true secrets behind how you can go from a 35-year-old
to a
fat guy.
275-pound or something.
Fat, short, squat, super astro guy on not on steroids, but on nothing but...
It's like Superboy, basically.
But
like,
McDonald's and Burger King.
Yeah, to like looking like...
to the real winner of the last year's bodybuilding contest, CMLL, the uncrowned champion.
What? Wait. I have no idea how that could happen. It must be a magical diet or something.
It must be. At age 35 or 36, he suddenly found the way to nothing but pure muscles.
Could I, at age 50, turn out like him?
If you follow his regimen.
Oh, dear. I heard I might lose my hair if I do that, though.
Yeah. You might lose a lot of things. I wouldn't count on children anytime soon.
Well, after going chemotherapy, can't do that anyway. So that's behind me.
Once Valiente can explain that, sorry about that, Cecilia. We don't mean to offend your favorite wrestler of all time. But first, he's going to teach Namahawi the life lessons he's learned on how to get your body in fine, tip-top wrestling shape. And then it'll be the moonsault off the top rope against Namahawi. It's just a bundle of willingness to try every and any creative dive. I'm sure within 6 to 9 months he will be ranked first on Rob Bahari's list of greatest wrestlers currently wrestling in Mexico.
That's where he and I part company.
He will have more innovative new dives that nobody has thought of yet.
That is where he and I part company. I just want the sleek physique, the energy. I don't want to do any of the dives. Screw that.
But you'll wear the mask, right?
I'll wear the mask.
The mask with like a carpet on top.
But still, lucky Pierre carpet.
Let's just assume you ran a match. Let's assume you ran a card in, say, Simi Valley these days. And let's assume you had 6 or 7 American matches on there, and then you suddenly threw a Lucha Libre match out with dives. How well do you think it would get over?
Well, you guys could tell me that because you saw the Lucha Libre match in Simi Valley. On that show.
It was so different in style, and it was so well executed amongst the two guys that did it. It got over very well, even though nobody had ever heard of the two guys before. The match wasn't advertised. It wasn't even sure, according to the promoter, that it was even going to happen at all to the last minute.
It was supposed to happen like the match before that, wasn't it?
And then it wasn't happening.
I'm just glad it happened, though. It was probably the best match that night. So
that's what I've been hearing. Yes,
yes, yes. For
a Lucha fan, that's like the
and there were those around us who are not weren't big Lucha fans who responded to it very well too. And I still think there's a market for this, but I'm just sad to say that with the way wrestling business and promotion has turned out the last 10 years, things are at a very down cycle right now.
Yeah, and I do think there's something to what I said earlier about when there is an athletic commission in California. I mean, I'm kind of glad it's gone just because if you want to promote a show, it's great to be able to promote a show. On the other hand, promoters had a lot more incentive to make a show work because you had to pay for a ringside doctor, you had to pay for licenses. There were so many hoops you had to jump through just to do a show. So when they promoted a show, it was rare that they wouldn't bust their ass to put butts in the seats, you know?
Not that certain promoters aren't trying to put
No, some are trying.
People in the seat.
Some are trying.
It's hard. It's a gamble now.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a secret. Shows are a secret. You have to look for them. They should be in your face.
That's why you should join Facebook.
Like, yes. Like any modern business, if you're starting up a business, you have to figure out, the first thing you really have to figure out is, can a profit be made from it? Because if you're going to end up in the end losing money, no matter how much you love your business, you've got to just go ahead and write off that money and say, I'm going to lose $50,000 this year. I'm just going to throw it away on running a wrestling promotion. And I understand it's not coming back. If you want to make money on it, then you have to understand or do the research and find out, where do I get my revenue from? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be from ticket sales? Is it going to be from any kind of merchandise I get an override on at the arena? Is it concessions I get? Then where will my best venue be? Who do I need to bring in and what do I need to pay them? You need to kind of work backwards. It's like it's really like running any other small business.
Yeah.
It's if you look at the business side very dispassionately first and come back to the creative side at the end, I think there's enough talent of wrestlers in the U.S. to put on a profitable show. Southern California would be the best place, I would think, because you have the advantage of being able to run Lucha style or Japanese style or American style.
You can book Kurt Brown 3 times. Save money.
Only
for
three.
3 minute matches.
Only three? That's he's cutting back.
Yeah, he's cutting back.
That's right. Last weekend in Simi Valley, I worked 4 times under 3 different identities.
Yep.
That was fun, actually. It made me feel like I was back in incredibly strange wrestling.
Yeah.
Yes, I still say you got jobbed and your challenge for the women's title. Your shoulders were not down.
They weren't.
Were not down, and that referee was not looking closely enough.
You want to know the funniest part? And I'm not joking. I was trying to keep them down. My opponent kept lifting them up.
I demand a rematch.
I kept on trying to keep my shoulder on the ground, and they wouldn't stay there. I felt like a turtle. Well, before we move on to subjects outside of CMLL...
There are subjects?
Some.
There's life outside of CMLL?
He wants to know about DTU.
Oh, good. We're going to talk to Dodgers.
We're going
to talk to Dodgers and the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
No, we're going to talk... Tim Lintz comes. That's who we're talking
Tim
about.
Tim Lintz comes.
Well, first off, one of two things. One of the things I love about Rush is I love how spontaneous he is. I love how... Occasionally, he'll be right in the middle of a high spot, and if he hears some jeers, he stops dead and just looks over at the fans, and then
He's a great heel.
Yes.
Now, the second thing before we depart CMLL, is it still the way it has been for many years, where they could essentially run like this forever, with a combination of the fact that they own a lot of the arenas and... they have such a low pay scale. Can they still drift like this?
Yes, they could.
Eternity?
Well, I don't know about eternity, because eventually, if you don't pay talent enough, you won't have enough good talent to come. And as if MMA and boxing with Canelo Alvarez and JC Chavez Jr., if it makes a comeback in Mexico and MMA ever catches on, and young kids growing up do as they do now in the U.S., they look at these things and say, well, I'd rather train in MMA than train to be a pro wrestler or whatever, and your talent pool starts to dry up, then you're dealing with, you know, kind of like an All Japan women's phenomenon, where eventually the talent, what kills you, you have all the money, you have all the business acumen and stuff, but you just don't have the wrestlers that you can make stars out of. If CMLL does die, I think that's what it'll die of one day. It's just the fact of continually doing the same thing over and over again, and the talent pool eventually dries up to nothing.
What do you personally think are the odds that boxing will resurge and MMA will blossom in Mexico?
In what time frame?
Forever? Next 10 years, let's say.
In the next 10 years, I would say boxing is going to have a very small resurgence, highlighted about 2 or 3 years from now, whenever the two prior mentioned boxers actually have their very first match with each other. That will be the highlight of that. And MMA, I do expect it to catch on, but you know, it's not as big now in the U.S. as it has been in the past, in large part because they're so interested in having a legitimate sport, they're not creating stars. Cain Velasquez, the big the big beef I have had with MMA over the while is when Cain Velasquez was champion, you couldn't find him. They were unable to make a big star out of him. They had somebody who should have been the most marketable boxer, wrestler, MMA fighter on the planet, and they weren't able to do anything with him. And they need people that will sell tickets. Personalities sell tickets. They have John Jones, they have George St. Pierre, and they have a couple other people that are right below that, and that's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else they're trying to sell as the title sells the tickets or the UFC sells the tickets. And they'll be able to maintain the audience, but I don't know they'll be able to maintain the audience paying $1,500 a seat.
And on top of that is we're seeing right now that it's slightly different circumstances, but roller derby's first really huge surge collapsed after they overexposed it on TV. Wrestling, that's happened to several occasions.
Mm-hmm.
In roller derby's case, if I remember right, it was just one promotion that was the TV network just wanted to throw it on night after night, and it burned people out. But now you have tons of smaller organizations, you know, Bellator and stuff, putting it on TV right and left, Plus, UFC is promoting so many shows, so many pay-per-views that, you know...
Yeah, I'm not sure. Somebody more expert, somebody like Oliver or Todd or Benji or somebody else that I will see next weekend in Atlanta will have to tell me why that things are down. But things are definitely down. There's no doubt about it. Things are down. It may be no more than the fact that the promotion can't actually promote the fights it wants because the actual sport itself and training for it requires such a level of physical activity. Yeah. People get too hurt in training and they have to constantly change matches and change matches on top. It may be endemic to the sport that it will never solve that problem.
That's true.
To be good at it, you have to practice at such a level that you really risk getting hurt during practice, and you can't reliably promote a main event out of that.
Luchador. That's right. Kane Velasquez will be the next big thing.
Yeah, he should be a luchador.
Well, I think Kane Velasquez should try to get heel heat in Southern California.
I think Kane Velasquez should wrestle Conan Big in Monterey. Yeah.
Well,
first fall pro wrestling.
You know, Conan is going to be second.
Yeah, I know. That's
second neurosis.
I want to know more about that.
First big fall neurosis. Pro wrestling rules. Second fall lucha libre rules.
I take
third fall MMA rules. Fourth fall.
You've clearly not seen a Conan big match. Because first fall is going to be 5-on-1 versus Conan big.
Okay, I'll pay to see that.
Kane Velasquez and two clowns.
I'll pay to see
a 92-year-old television commentator.
Yeah. commentators. Maybe a woman thrown in, a woman with a female
fourth
rap.
Fall roller derby rules.
Yeah.
They have to fight on roller skate. They have to pass
I
each
think
other
they would roller. Probably do that.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Conan Big on roller skates.
Have you seen Conan Big? I think you have, right?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Right, but he has not seen me. Thank God.
You know, Triple A tried to use him last year in Monterey and even get him involved in the post-match brawl with the Angles, and he was out of his league in that.
Yeah, he's basically a Monterey type of...
He's amazingly popular. You can't believe he, other than Santos mask matches, he draws better than any wrestler in Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
It's because they're all freak matches, but the promoter is so inventive, he'll keep who's the freak he's opposing so different each time.
So there's the key. We got to get a hold of that promoter and...
Well, Carlos Elizondo will let you get a hold of him.
Okay, there you go.
He's just that kind of guy.
That's what fascinates me as a guy.
He's 400 pounds, but he's just that kind of guy.
6'1" and he's tons of fun.
He's 5'1" and
tons
of fun.
Okay, he's 5'1" and he's tons of fun. Okay. But that's something that intrigues me is when you can promote a Conan Big and make it work, even though he doesn't work, really, you know?
No, but he doesn't look any different than the other guys in the promotion. There aren't a lot of guys in the promotion that are out there doing La Sombra's stuff or Dr. Wagner's mat work stuff. They're all independent wrestlers of that ilk.
Gotcha.
It's a really trippy promotion.
Then I've Monterey. Got to see it. I've got.
Well,
to
I
see
think
it.
You've seen the clips of that Jamelos Muerte or my.
Oh yeah. I have. Yeah. I've seen Jamelos.
They'll draw Muerte. Really well one show, and then like the next show will be like 10 people.
Yes. Chavez and Cantabria.
Yeah.
I know. I sat there watching that clip. I didn't realize that was who we were talking about. But the Jamelos Muerte, I'm saying, God, I want to like these guys. I really want to like them.
Yeah,
but it just
really
didn't
indie
happen.
Level. Really indie,
yeah.
indie level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys, they'll have, like, one week they'll have, like, really good worker, and all of a sudden, like, that really good worker's working with somebody that you've never heard of.
Mascara Pupura.
Yeah. What, is he still around?
Yeah,
he's around.
Still occasionally.
In Monterey.
Yes.
No. I remember sending results.
The only person I know who told CMLL and Paco when he was in the process of getting a push to shut it.
Really?
Go away, yeah.
Trip out.
It was over money. Oh, that's all I've been told. It was over money.
He wasn't that good anyway.
Huh?
He wasn't that good.
Yeah, but he was...
I know. I'm kind of glad he quit.
You know, at that same time, he was better than Rush, who was getting...
No push.
You know, just coming into the...
Wasn't he?
I think he left before Rush even came.
I think so.
I mean, Rush was terrible when he started getting pushed, but somebody somewhere clearly saw the potential.
Rush
and
was
not
always
the reality.
Rush was always,
yeah, he always had
the shoulders and arms and everything.
Wow!
But he hasn't been hurt in a while, and he's gotten passable. He doesn't make rookie mistakes anymore.
Yeah.
And I guess this would be a good place to shift over to
AAA,
yes, which I
La Cara Van Estelar.
Yes,
Kirk doesn't watch AAA.
I don't watch it when it's not on TV here, although that's no excuse.
I wouldn't tell your next guest that.
I could find it. I could find it on YouTube pretty easily. So I actually do want to catch up on it, but what is the current state of AAA? What are we looking at here?
AAA is having its 20th anniversary.
Bravo.
AAA was founded in 1992 by Antonio Pena from cutting off from CMLL, and the first show was May 15th. The first press conference was May 7th, so we're coming up on the 20th anniversary dates to the date. And around April, I have to go back to the Friday that's closest to about April the 20th, was the day that Pena walked in and said, and Conan walked in and said, "Don't book us anymore. We're resigning from the promotion." They didn't tell him anymore, yeah, because the day that the press conference actually happened, when Paco Alonso came into work on May the 7th, 1992, around noontime, and the press conference had already started, somebody came in to tell him the news that, "Oh, Pena is starting up a new promotion to run against you," and he was like, he had no idea.
Wow.
He had no idea. And somebody said, the next thing they said is, he's got with him Santos, Ian Caras, and Conan and stuff, and Paco, being Paco, says, "That's funny. I have Conan's work papers right here."
Oh.
And he would proceed to screw with Conan royally for the next 60 days.
Jeez.
Because Conan had forgotten to secure, on his release, had forgotten, or just never crossed his mind,
right,
to get his work papers back.
But that was the beginning.
And that is a story. If you want to hear more, you'll have to come to the next Lucha World podcast.
That's right. That's right. It'll be bitchin'.
Yes, he has some stories there that you wouldn't even believe. I don't know if he wants them out on the air, but he has some stories you wouldn't believe.
Don't worry. We'll record it.
About those.
Yeah, we swear we don't have the recorder on. So tell us what you feel. Tell us everything you feel. We don't have the recorder on.
AAA, theoretically, what they should be doing with this year, and what they intend to do, I think, is take the middle section of the year and make it a 20th anniversary celebration. It's just a round number. You could say, well, 25 is bigger than 20, or 10 is bigger than 20, or whatever, but this will be the 20th Triple Mania coming up this year, and that is what they are setting their sights on. They want to make it a really big show. However, I don't think they think their matches are all that hot at the moment, and they've really got to work on something and heat it up. Plus, they are very happy with the crew they have now. I don't get the sense, at least at the moment, they're very interested in having people get their hair shaved or their masks taken off. I'm not sure they're convinced that, let's say they wanted to, which is one I know that is not in the cards. Let's say they wanted to run Dr. Wagner Jr. against L.A. Park or Parka or Octagon in a mask match. I know none of those is on the line, but even if they did, even if it were, I think they believe that the business is not at such a level now in the country that it would be a smart business move to run it, even at a special show like Triple Mania 20. So they're going to have some matches that are big but not gigantic, because they're not quite convinced yet that in Mexico City they're going to draw enough money to have gigantic payoffs and make gigantic business decisions. So I think we're going to see matches of the kind like Macias defending the mega title against Perro Aguayo Jr., who was always sells tickets in Mexico City. Even in his own promotion, he had much better luck at Sala de Armas than he did at most places. I think they want to run
Joe Leader versus Nicho.
Well, they want to do that, but I mean, more on top. I think they want to have something with Wagner and his crew against the Consejo crew that will eventually lead to they want to see if they can elevate Mascarano dos Mil Jr.
Oh, geez.
There are those who think it can't it cannot be done. It can't be done. They need,
why does it have to be done?
What they need is Consejo. El Consejo was a great angle, but suddenly you had Argos, Cemental, Mortiz.
Yeah.
Suddenly, all the people who were joining it were people that were opening match wrestlers in CML, and everybody picked up on it, and they started to treat the El Consejo angle as,
yes,
these are opening match guys.
Yeah.
So they are trying to separate Tejano, Toscano, and a third guy.
Simmental.
And the third guy...
I'll try to talk...
There you go.
I'll try to talk somebody to elevate.
You can try and talk to him. But the third guy, they think, looking at everything they know, that they can make...
He's my Facebook friend. Come
on. Oscar Añedos Mill Jr.
Simmental is my
Facebook friend. Simmental, right?
Oh, it's AAA.
Oh, okay.
He changed it.
Oh, dear. We got to pass that word along. Yeah. Who is Facebook friends with Fredo?
So they want to elevate. They want to give Oscar Añedos Mill a chance to see if he can be elevated to be the third guy and make it a main event heel trio.
Yeah.
We'll see if that works. The people in the U.S. are very down on the idea. The people in Mexico seem to think, you know, they work with him every day, that there is enough potential there that you might be able to make a star out of him.
Was there another Mascara?
First off, they got to get rid of that name. That name is just...
Consejo.
No. Mascara Añedos Mill Jr.
Yeah.
They've got to get rid of that name. Call him anything else. Call him El Hijo de ... or something.
El Hijo de Solitario.
I think that's it. That is literally almost the worst name you could have. Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr.
Would you call El Hijo de Solitario the worst second generation wrestler since George Gulas?
He is widely agreed... that in Mexico that he is the worst second generation use of a real star's father.
I know.
To the son, the drop off was just absolutely
so
phenomenal.
He is a Mexican George Gulas.
Yes.
He is Jorge Gulas.
He's worse than that.
You gotta watch his match with Hijo Santo, where it's just him just standing around. Hijo Santo hits a tope on him.
I actually did see that.
Yeah, he just keeps going.
I remember seeing him on and off on TV, I think it was a good 20 years ago, and just thinking, this guy reeks. And then I'd see him a few years later and said, this guy still reeks. It's just,
And it tells you how bad he is that Santo can live off his father's reputation. And El Hijo Santo is actually an excellent worker who knows what he's doing in the ring perfectly. His timing is just perfect. I mean, he's not the world's greatest athlete. I mean, he's kind of mechanical with his movements. But he is an excellent worker, knows exactly what he's doing. Blue Demon Jr. is a decent worker who at least cannot embarrass. No. He not embarrass his name. But compared to Solitario...
Somebody's Facebook friends with Blue Demon Jr.
Blue Demon Jr. is Ric Flair compared to Solitario.
I'll agree with that.
Okay, well, let's say Hijo de Santo is Ric Flair. Solitario is George Gulish. So can we call Blue Demon Jr. Tully Blanchard?
He's not that good.
He's not that good.
He's more like Lex Luger.
Without the muscles.
Yeah.
Who is Lex Luger?
You know, that's actually...
Could be carried with the right person to a really good match. I mean,
whoa.
I saw Lex Luger against Ricky Steamboat in a match.
Dudes.
You would not believe.
But who is Lex Luger's father, man?
I don't know. You have to ask Superman.
Oh, dear. Okay. Superman. Now, it's been a while since I've seen AAA, but the one thing... The last time I was watching AAA, all I could think of is... how totally bitchin' is Jack Evans? That guy is like the most bitchin' wrestler they have.
He is. He's more over as a singles wrestler now than he used to be. He used to be really considered a tag wrestler. Mm-hmm. And to a large extent, that's what he was.
Isn't he a tag champ, though?
Well, that's beside me.
But no, that's what I always thought. When he was like, especially when he was with Teddy now Hart, I just kept on thinking, oh, this poor guy's just going to always be a tag
Teddy
wrestler.
Teddy Hart is back.
What?
Don't forget, Teddy Hart is back.
He's back and he's after Jack Evans.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't know that, huh?
No, yeah. You haven't watched AAA in a while.
I haven't.
Teddy Hart's back.
No, but Jack Evans was having a great feud with Perro Aguayo Jr. And you can classify that one under the old motto that styles make fights, and it's true in wrestling and MMA and stuff, that those two really play off each other's strengths and weaknesses very well. Really do. And they created a very interesting conundrum. They're not running the match. They were setting up for a hair match, and they're not running at Triple Mania, which I think they probably should. But they're not running it in large part for two reasons. One is they feel that, which is true, the fans will know the outcome. Anybody who's got a brain knows
clearly
what's going to happen.
Jack Evans is going to win.
But have the outcome. And secondly, at Triple Mania, they feel they're probably going to go into an arena that needs to sell 22,000 tickets, and his name at the top just isn't going to sell the tickets.
Yes.
Not yet.
Are they going to book the Alamo Dome?
No, they're looking at is that new arena, Ciudad de Mexico,
that
is now open and has no dates. And so they're able to really play it against Palacio de los Portes and drive the price down.
Yeah, that's good.
So they're looking at it. By the time you talk to Conan, he'll know which one they're going to, or whether they're going to Orizaba or wherever else they're going to. But they're in a unique situation right now because Plaza Mexico is getting rid of bullfighting, which is just ridiculous.
Oh, jeez. How can they do that?
If you know anything about bullfighting and getting your Navajo, getting your promotion to mastery can only be done at like 3 bull rings in the world. Mm-hmm. Plaza Mexico is one of them.
Yeah.
And the other two are in Spain. It, like, this is throwing the bullfighting world into just an uproar.
Why is it stopping?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Maybe we should start a bullfighting blog.
But I mean, that was the side of Triple Mania 1, so there are certain reasons why having a major card there this year would make sense.
That would be great. Teddy Hart, I think, would be into wrestlers fighting bulls.
Yes. He would take on a bull.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We should interview Teddy
Hart. Of course, Conan could fight a career versus career match.
Now, if Teddy Hart is going to utilize a cat in one of his AAA feuds, will it be one of the cats that belong to Stu, or rather one of the Ospreys?
He's going to take Gato Everready.
Gato Everready will be back? That's what I have been waiting to hear.
No.
Drago?
He'll be taking Drago.
Oh, please! Gato Everready was the hottest thing they had.
Isn't Drago like what you use to clean out your pipes in the sink? You pour the stuff down your sink.
In America, they call it Drago.
Drago.
But anyway, I digress. I've tried to tell people from Mexico, that word bimbo on the side of your baker's truck doesn't mean anything.
I didn't even realize that guy was so filthy rich, the guy who owns Bimbo.
Really?
Yeah. It's like one of the richest men in the world.
Oh, my Lord. Can he spare $1 million for us?
Yeah, so we could rent.
Well, that's the trouble with Mexico's economy, though, is they have like 10 of the 500 richest people in the world. Yeah. They have 400 of the 500 poorest people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's widely split.
Wow, man. Well, in fact, that's one of the reasons
AAA is coming up with Triple Mania, and everything they're doing right now is to focus on Triple Mania, but it looks like they're having a show with a lot of... they're not going to have the great big knockoff match I wanted. I had wanted them to have Wagner versus either Park or Parka in a mask match to make this like the show of all time, and then Macias versus Cibernético in a hair match for the semifinal. And neither one is...
I don't think Cibernético.
Even what's happening.
Well, actually,
that's Cibernético.
If I were booking, Cibernético would lose.
Would
lose at Triple Mania.
I wouldn't. If I was booking, he would always win. But Cibernético would be the greatest rust.
There'd be no such thing.
There'd be no losing for Cibernético.
He would be the El Hijo del Santo.
My advice to Cibernético would be no job.
But you know, Santo is the most old school booker and promoter I know, because he does everything by booking 101 book, the classic 80s book. Everything is he does the jobs to build up. He's always got 2 or 3 people beating him, never one. And then he always gets to the final match where he's risking his mac, and it goes exactly by the book.
And
there's never any variation, and people eat it up.
And I remember Jeff Walton telling me that when he first started working in Jules Strongbow's office in the mid-1960s, they're talking over some major angle, and Jules Strongbow just proposed a slightly tweaked version of an angle they did 3 years earlier. And somebody said, well, we just did that. And he said, old works. And I know you have to modernize the business to some extent, but I think there are some formulas that, even though you think they should die out, they're going to keep working.
Well,
you should probably check it.
I
don't want to say it loud, but...
We think that, but they certainly don't always think that way in modern age. In the modern age, there's the assumption that especially if you're on TV, that you've got to have a certain amount of TV ratings to keep on the network, or the network will use something else. You've got to keep your sponsors happy. And to do that, you've got to have stuff that has TV peaks, not necessarily peaks for long-term viewership that will grow your ratings from 3.0 to 3.1 to 3.2, but, you know, quick, bouncing, interesting TV things, or somebody's going to flip the channel. Yeah. And especially as, you know, at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, you've always got to have something going on, never commercials. Have your big angles at the top and the bottom of the hour, all that sort of thing. It's true in U.S., true in Mexico, but it's much more there. Booking has become so much different, more because, and more changes have been because of television than for anything else.
Now, being the historian, one of the premier historians of Lucha Libre,
Fredo.
Yes.
What would you like to know, Kurt?
Okay, yes.
Yes. What would you like to know?
What is your favorite color?
Black, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Steve, if you could go back pre-1970 and witness any lucha event or any...
Oh, jeez.
It's surf music. It's gratuitous surf music.
Hawaii Five-O is on. We have to conclude this very suddenly.
Now we'll hear Kurt's phone call conversation.
Oh my God, it's from Ricky Itake.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'll call him back later. It's no doubt about...
Oh.
I guess he wants to wrestle me again.
Yep.
Probably so.
Didn't get enough of it.
If there were a lucha match from the time frame of 1869 to 1969, I wish I had been at, the first choice would have been the El Santo versus Black Shadow match of 1952, because for three reasons. First off, it was considered at its time the ultimate possible match. Kind of like Cena versus Rock, except there was a clear good guy and a clear bad guy. Santo was the bad guy.
Jack Lord is alive, people.
Santo was
very
the bad
dated
guy.
Reference.
And they had the ultimate good versus evil. That is how Salvador Lutheran promoted the match, because he was fighting off somebody who was trying to horn in on his territory through TV, oddly enough. And to everybody's surprise, the bad guy won.
Mm-hmm.
In the ultimate match of good versus evil, evil, which was Santo at that time, won, although they had a clean match. So I'd like to see that. I would have liked to have seen the very first match at Arena Coliseo in 1943 when El Santo and Tarzan Lopez had their match with each other. And from the 1960s, there were several times when they had Carlos Legarde, Sr., and René Guajardo, how do you say that properly?
Guajardo.
Come in as a tag team. And I always heard such good things about them, you know, whether they were, whoever they were fighting, whether they were fighting Dory Dixon and Ray Mendoza, whoever it might be. I would love to have seen a tag match with those guys from their prime.
Now, some of the stuff from the 60s, even though we can't get our hands on it, does exist on tape, as I understand.
Yeah, there is. I mean, Televisa actually taped some things, even though they had a television show up to 1956, and they started again a television taping for their regional shows in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a 16-year or 26-year period there where they didn't physically tape except for when they were requested to by regional affiliates.
Wow.
And stuff. So it's kind of hit and miss.
Who's
got it? I don't know. Carlos Elizondo, as much fun as we make of him, the Monterrey promoter, is supposed to be a real pack rat and is likely to have kept almost all Monterrey videos going back to like day one.
Yeah.
And which day one for him would be, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, whatever they have.
I probably heard that from you. Years ago or something.
Well, that's one of that.
Benjamin Mora's father, not the one that is much more famous to us, that promoted in the 80s and 90s and was the Tijuana promoter, and was the one that promoted all the Santo mask matches in Tijuana. His father, who helped found the UWA with Francisco Flores, was also a pack rat who kept a lot of things. He's dead now, but he might have kept those
and his address is?
You know who knows, who know how to get a hold of anybody in Mexico is Ernesto Ocampo. Whether you can convince Ernesto to give you that information is another thing.
I'll convince
Ernesto is very, very hit and miss about
headlock.
about...
I had luck. Will that work?
No.
Luck Cavernaria.
Cavernaria.
Nope. And please, nobody do the camel clutch anywhere in the world because it's trademarked. It's a dance
right.
move.
It's a dance move.
You
don't
can't use it. You cannot use it.
So
don't
watch,
do it.
Watch out, Iron Sheik. Don't come out of retirement, whatever you do.
You cannot use it. Be careful. I'm saying this for your own public interest. You might get sued.
That's right.
You might have to go into court and you won't get Sano to take his mask off. So, yes, if you can get a hold of Ernesto Ocampo, who's on Twitter now, yeah, after years and years of begging.
You know what, that's
and
what
convince
I...
convince him to DM you the information, he would know. Kind of like...
I can only imagine.
The original Dr. Lucha in Japan, Shimizu,
uh-huh,
if he doesn't know the answer, he knows 100% of the time who has the answer.
Oh,
so if you're looking for A, B, that, or C, he knows the person who will know the answer.
What I enjoy about being an old school wrestling fan today more than anything is what is going to pop up next. I mean, on YouTube, recently the most recent amazing mm-hmm find was that match from Greece with Jim Lundos versus Kola Quariani. That, as far as I know, nobody knew that even existed.
I had never heard of it before.
I
had never heard of the Greek guy before, for sure. Regardless of Londos or anybody else he wrestled, I'd never heard of him before.
You're talking about
heard of Londos before?
No, Londos, yes. His opponent, no.
You never heard of Kola Quariani?
Really?
Never heard of him.
No, Michael. Wow. Oh, really?
Seriously,
I'm
never
sure
heard
of Kola Quariani.
No, I'd never heard of him.
He had a very sad, sad ending. And
you guys were ripping me for not ever seeing
you
Jay Strongbow.
You didn't see?
I had never seen Chief Jay Strongbow.
I saw him when he was Scarpa in Atlanta, feuding with Mark Lewin before Mark Lewin mm-hmm went into his devil-worshipping bestiality gimmick.
Bestiality?
Well, in Georgia, Paul Jones didn't care. So, I mean, you took all your gimmicks mm-hmm to the wall. People bought rifles to the ring.
Right.
I mean, he did not care, you know, how you got yourself over, if you want to get yourself over. And in the 70s, he let Lewin mm-hmm go crazy.
Jeez.
In Georgia, it was just wow, wild stuff.
Wow. Yep, Kola Quariani. The first time I ever heard about him, actually, it was really sad, was in, I think it was, I want to say 1978. He was a master chess player, and, like, after he retired, that's all he did was play chess. And there was a chess club somewhere, is New York or New Jersey, I can't remember. And it was in a kind of, like, bad area. Don't know why they had a chess club there, but he was leaving and got into an argument with a couple of thugs, and they all beat him to death.
Oh,
you know,
come on.
In his late 70s, I think. Mm-hmm. But
still, I mean, come on. Vern Gagne can kill a guy in his late 70s.
Yeah, but that guy was his age, and
yeah,
he's out of
yeah,
it. Then he, these were guys
is
in
this
their
20s. The same Jim Londos that was so famous they made a Tijuana Bible out of him?
Yep. Jim
the
Londos,
same?
Kola Quariani was
man,
one.
I was always hoping somebody would make a Tijuana Bible out of him.
That's right. Jim, that was Jim, J-E-E-M. And I don't think Kola Quariani was ever... yeah, Jim, you know, Jim had the looks. If he wanted to do blue movies, he probably could have done them. Mm-hmm. I don't think poor Mr. Quariani could have done that. So, but no, yeah, Quariani was an international star. True, his name doesn't go... isn't as recognizable as Londos, but yeah, he was something for a while.
Londos was an American superstar.
Yeah, he was the real deal. He was it.
The Greek god.
Did I just say real deal?
Yeah.
God, damn.
You're like getting old.
I'm getting old and I'm getting punchy and I need some oxygen.
Another match I would have liked to have seen would be on July 16th of 1965, they did a tournament. CMLL did it.
Oh, no. You want to go back in time and see a tournament?
Yeah.
Come on.
It was a tag team tournament, and the winner of the tournament got a shot at the tag team championships, Mexican national championships. That would even mean before they had Mexican tag champions,
mm-hmm,
national champions. And the point was they were debuting Mil Máscaras, and so Mil won the tournament with his partner. And that was the point of the whole tournament, and it got over great. And I would love to have seen what Mil looked like in his first match with that gimmick. He had actually wrestled anonymously in Guadalajara for about a year prior just to get some ring experience.
Yeah, actually, I would have loved to have seen
which
that.
He held as a secret for 50 years and finally only revealed in the Super Luchas interview about three or four years ago.
Oh, wow, cool, yeah. Cool. Well, I think we covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah, we'll save
was,
the rest.
We'll save,
that was good for the first half.
Yeah,
that's
we'll,
right.
We'll save the IWRG talk till the second.
That's right. That's
man, I can't ever have IWRG.
He never gets to talk about
so
IWRG.
So you folks are going to...
Los Tramos.
That's going to whet your folks' appetite listening to this. You're going to have to wait to hear about IWRG, you poor souls.
And DDD.
That's right. Yes, yes. And don't forget Ice Ribbon.
Ice Ribbon. Don't say that anymore.
Ice Ribbon. We are going to have a special Ice Ribbon version of...
No.
An Ice Ribbon edition of Lucha World very soon.
People think I'm watching it now.
Well, I intend to watch it. I have the DVDs. That's almost worse than watching it, is possessing the DVDs. So, I got the mouth from Alfredo. So, thanks, Steve. I want to really appreciate having you on, and it's always great to talk to the DR Luch of Lucha.
I enjoyed it, and look forward to doing it again someday.
Okay, very cool.
How is Tuesday?
We're there. We're holding him hostage, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time.